This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, for us and for our salvation, you came down from heaven. So come to us. Abide with us, our Lord. Emmanuel. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas. My sermon tonight has to do with dreams. But today started as a bit of a nightmare when the incense set off the fire alarm. And the Boynton Beach Fire Department were the first ones to the manger scene tonight. I waited over 20 years to share Father Bill Hamilton's joke that he told me my first Christmas at St. Andrew's when he said he had proof that the Magi worked for the fire department because the Bible tells us they came from afar. When you see Father Bill, tell him I finally shared his story. It was my mother's 93rd birthday this month on December the 8th, and I had decided to surprise her by flying up to St. Louis for the dinner at a local Italian Hill favorite restaurant, Favazza's, where 18 of the family were gathering for her birthday dinner. Dee, my wife, had equipped me with a small box that contained one of those special, incredible candles that once lit, opens, spins, emits fireworks out of the middle while it plays Happy Birthday. Since it is Jesus' birthday, perhaps it is not inappropriate to show you what it looks like if you haven't seen one, if we can get the video to play. Well, there it goes. Now, unfortunately for me, my connecting flight was delayed in Chicago, and so I was 2 hours late. Despite my sister's best efforts to delay the dinner service, until after the group had finished their entrees and were waiting on birthday cake and opening presents. With the candle box in hand, I approached the table, where Mom was seated on the corner, and her back was to me as I approached the table to surprise her. Now, my mother usually will say whatever it is that comes to her mind. And the last time I surprised her, some of you may recall, her immediate response to my surprise presence was, "Marty, what are you doing here?" So to try and avoid that little embarrassment, I decided I would pretend I was the waiter. Sneaking up behind her, I wanted to get on eye level with her, so I went down on one knee with the box in hand and whispered to her, "Ma'am, is everything satisfactory so far with your dinner service tonight?" Now, that was what I did. However, this is not what all those around us apparently perceived. What they saw was a man sneak up to the woman who was obviously being celebrated on this occasion. The man then goes down on one knee and presents a little box to the lady as he whispers something into her ear. My nieces, through their laughter, said that everybody thought I was proposing to her. There was a bit of a hushed, surprised look on the faces of the people, and I didn't quite grasp it at the time. It was a funny moment, But what it did, in some strange way, was to bring that entire restaurant into this scene. And eventually, when we did put on the incredible candle and sang Happy Birthday, the entire restaurant burst into this harmonic version of it for my mother. A surprise birthday that took on a different kind of significance. Tonight, we celebrate a significant birthday. The most significant birthday in the history of the world. A birthday that is full of surprise, and yet one that, if we just look in from the outside, like the people in the restaurant, we could misinterpret and miss the significance thereof. We are blessed with five different accounts of people who talk about Jesus in the Bible. The four gospel writers and St. Paul. Isn't it amazing that only two of the five choose to tell us about the origins of Jesus' birth, like we hear from Luke tonight? Yet it's clear in all five of them that something happened in their experience of Jesus in their personal life that led them to understand who he was, and as a result, who we are empowered to become. Paul talks about Jesus as being the visible image of the invisible God, and the light of the glory of the knowledge of God shines in the face of Jesus. John talks about all of these, I am the bread of life, I am eternal life, and on and on. And Mark is just too busy and excited telling us everything that Jesus did to even want to go back to the birth story. That leaves us with Matthew and Luke. We're gifted this year in the year of Luke. And really, Luke makes us the underdogs, the hero of his story. We heard this Advent, when Jesus begins his ministry and John the Baptist is on the scene, the first thing that John says, a baptism of repentance. And as we have reflected on so much these four Sundays, the whole theme of Advent and the theme of this significant birthday is for us to repent, to rethink. Luke turns the world topsy-turvy. He's got canticles sung by people who the world would say have no importance. Mary's Magnificat that we heard just yesterday, a young girl unimportant in the eyes of all the world. Simeon, an old man who just hangs out at the temple because of a crazy promise he's received that before he died, he would hold Christ in his arms. Zechariah, the old man and the priest married to Elizabeth, and he ends up proclaiming his great canticle, another one who in the eyes of the world doesn't have much importance. But what's missing? Missing is the canticle of the one for us who belong to this particular parish should wonder about. Where is Joseph's canticle? There is none. Joseph speaks through his actions. He speaks with silent love. We know the story. We know the utter nightmare he would have experienced when Mary revealed that she was expecting a child. And yet, that nightmare is turned into a vision and a dream that he is willing to live out. There is a great Celtic poet by the name of Gail Turnbull. He writes a poem about those monks that Wendy talked about this weekend going from Iona to Lindisfarne. And he writes a poem about one of those monks who talks about the dream and the reality. And this classic line is this: "The patience of the bricklayer is assumed in the dream of the architect." It is not just about the dreams and the visions that are also important, but it is about the willingness and the courage to make that dream a reality, brick by brick, stone by stone, or in the case of the carpenter, wood piece by wood piece. If we go to the next slide. Architect and bricklayer. Joseph is both. Or to put it on the next slide in other terms, a dreamer and a doer. This is what Joseph does. I ran across a reflection on Joseph written by another Joseph, Joseph Nassal, in a book he wrote called Stations of the Crib. He talks about Joseph as a man of not words but action. I quote from his writing. "Now, it's one thing to dream and quite another to act on one's dream. And that's what Joseph did. He allowed his dream to guide his every step, his every action. Because Joseph believed in the power of his dream, he fashioned a future with Mary, though he certainly did not understand the full implications of the dream or how the dream would be played out. He humbly accepted his role in God's surprising salvation story. Joseph stayed awake. He followed the angel's counsel and took Mary into his care. I wonder what Joseph said to Mary when they met the first time after he had this dream. I'm sure a Hollywood scriptwriter could come up with just the right dialogue, but for my money, I suspect there was silence. A wordless embrace. A holy silence that spoke of a love so rare and so wonderful." We can picture the scene. Mary and Joseph holding on to each other for dear life and for a dream so much larger than either one of them could conceive. Yes, a silence that spoke of a love stronger than fear, stronger than rejection, stronger than ambiguity, and stronger even than betrayal. A love stronger than death. So what does this have to do with this significant birthday for us? God has that same dream for each one of us. If this is your first Christmas here, or your 98th, this story is true. It is a story of a God who has a dream and a vision that God wants to bring to reality for each one of us. To know that we are loved unconditionally and totally. That there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. A God who wants to tell us, when your dreams turn to dust, trust me. Trust in the light that glows within, even when the darkness tempts you to let that darkness overcome your light. Trust in God's dream for you and the world, even when the nightmares of war and oppression and famine and fear fail to take a holiday from us. Like Joseph, we're asked to dream, but also to do with compassion and tenderness for each other. Joseph speaks. Joseph speaks with silent love. Where is Joseph's canticle? Well, perhaps it is one that we are called to proclaim about him. Next slide, please. The bearded man lies on his bed at night, praying that this will work out right. Gabriel says her story's true, believing's up to you. The man and the child asleep on hay, Mary trusts God that both will stay. Resting on this bed of hay, he is the Son of God. Joseph and Mary and the baby makes three. Trust in God and live in love. Be a holy family. He will do what he must do in response to God above. Someday they will understand silent love. Carpenter's life is hard but good. Working all day, making things with wood. The task before him's harder still, to raise the Son of God. Joseph and Mary and the baby makes three. Trust in God and live in love. Be a holy family. He will do what he must do in response to God above. Someday they will understand silent love. History tells how the rest unfolds. Magi with incense, myrrh, and gold. They settled in a quiet town. Soon he turned the world around. Joseph died, Mary cried, the little baby grew. He grew on strength from what they taught, to do the things he had to do. Lifted high, he gave his love and life for you and me, so that we all might understand silent love. Joseph and Mary and the baby makes three. Trust in God and live in love. Be a holy family. He will do what he must do in response to God above. Someday they will understand silent love. Amen.